Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We're taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight. We are happy to be with you. Thank you for making the program and the fan part of your day. Former NFL offensive coordinator Mike Martz will be on the show at 3. He's a big Sam Howell guy. Did a detailed breakdown of Howell for the 33rd team. We'll talk to him about it. Looking forward to catching up with him. What's up, Danny?
Not much, my friend. Very busy weekend for the Hoorays. We did a lot of stuff. Each of my kids had a couple games, a couple birthday parties, and we managed to squeeze in a really cool charity walk Sunday morning for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation on the National Mall. What a cool event, man. Just really, really well done. Everyone was so friendly, so nice. There were plenty of snacks. Wawa was out there, like, handing out pretzels to people so you could carb load before you hoofed it around the mall for a couple miles.
Wawa is the person or the gas station?
So the gas station that has delicious foodstuffs
Was present. Whoa.
So they sent representatives, and they were very nice. And
big Wawa guy.
Of course you are. You're a human being.
I like a Wawa sub. Haven't had a Wawa sub in a while.
I went on a road trip not too long ago. Actually, it was a couple years now, I guess. But we stopped at Wawa 3 different times. Just you're in the car for a long time. You're like, you guys want to do another Wawa? I sure do. And it was a 10 out of 10, Ms. Davis. But fantastic weather. Beautiful. Awesome. Just nice. Like, even though I didn't do much, you know, like, raise a tiny bit of money and, like, I'm walking around, you still feel really good. You know that you're, like, part of something bigger, and it was really, really neat. And it was really cool that my kid got to do it, too. You know what I mean? Because you're in these little bubbles. You're doing your third grade stuff, and you're hanging out with your friends, and you go play soccer. It just doesn't feel like the world's bigger at times, but you go and do something like that, and I think it was really, really cool for him. So that was awesome to be a part of.
Sounds like a great weekend.
Yeah.
It was not a good weekend for the two winningest teams in NBA history. We are on the verge of potential for two sweeps in the conference finals. Both the Celtics and the Lakers are down 3-0. In Boston's case, not really a good excuse for them. They played 2 games at home. They're the much higher seed here. They were the heavy favorites coming into the series, and the Miami Heat have them on the brink of an embarrassing 4 games in a row sweep, because last night, Miami just obliterated Boston, who no-showed 128-102 in Game 3. And a day earlier, it was the Nuggets beating the Lakers 119-108 on Saturday to take a 3-0 lead in the West Finals.
I'm stunned by Boston, quite frankly. The Nuggets were the one seed, prohibitive favorites, even though the national story was about what the Lakers were doing coming from play-in. And, you know, it's a LeBron James 24-7 type of coverage. I get that. I understand the world at large. I know where we are.
Denver has the best player in the series, probably in Jokic, who's won the last couple MVPs before Embiid won it this season. So you can make the case, hey, if he plays great, that probably cancels out LeBron or Davis or one and part of the other, because he's just going to go give you 30 and a triple-double every game.
So I understand Denver winning this thing. I didn't think they'd sweep. I thought it'd be more competitive series, so I was dead wrong about that. But Boston, they look terrible. I mean, in a must-win game, well, I think it was like 12 for 35 between Jaylen Brown and who's disappeared, by the way. I think he's probably banged up a little bit. And Jason Tatum, who went from 51 in a closeout game, unstoppable menace, to guy that probably is dribbling a little too much and jacking up too many shots at like a Sunday morning run through at the YMCA. Credit to Miami, man. It's unbelievable what they're doing.
That was as bad a performance this deep into a postseason as I've ever seen in my life yesterday. And if you just started watching the Celtics in these playoffs, I mentioned it last round. I still think it holds true. You would think they're not good.
Right.
Like, they have not been good. They are sub 500 at home in these playoffs when no one else has lost a single game at home prior to game 3 with Denver going to LA and getting a win. I looked it up. NBA teams down 3-0 in a series are 0-149 all time. 0-149. So I'm not here to tell you that there's no way that the Lakers or the Celtics come back, but I am going to tell you it's probably not happening. If one of those teams forced a game seven, who would you say is the better shot to? I think I would still go Boston just because Denver's too good to beat three in a row.
Yeah, I would say maybe the clock strikes midnight on Miami, but who knows? I mean, and Eric Spoelstra, to his credit, actually said this, made a comment about it, where someone was marveling at their developmental system. Well, I think they got 80 points last night from undrafted free agents and signees, folks that they've put in their organization and developed. And this was maybe a couple games ago. I can't remember exactly when it was. But Spoelstra's like, let's stop referring to them as undrafted free agents. These are NBA players. These are bona fides. These are guys that have done it at the highest level and are doing it right now. Where you came from doesn't really matter to us. And I just went, I'm really jealous of that culture. I want Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra here and just implementing stuff in D.C., but that's, of course, far-fetched. But the way Miami is playing, guys that, like, Caleb Martin shouldn't be doing this. Gabe Vincent shouldn't be doing this. Max Strus shouldn't be doing this. And yet here we are, they're doing it, and there's no sign of slowing down.
What is Heat culture? Heat culture is leading all teams in the playoffs in loose balls corralled, in times guys have gotten on the floor, in hustle statistics. That's really what that culture is. So tonight, we'll see. Can the Lakers stave off elimination, or does LeBron in L.A. end up getting swept by the Denver Nuggets? Major League Baseball had a heck of a weekend. I wonder what you think about this. MLB announced a couple hours ago that the attendance in the sport, Nats Park, some great weather, beautiful game, Star Wars Day against the Detroit Tigers, team that's not often in town. There was a lot going for Nats Park this weekend. A lot of people came out. But nationally, in all the ballparks across the country, over 1.5 million people went to games this weekend. So if you look at April and May series on the weekend, first 2 months of a season, over the last 6 years, this was the number one attended weekend's worth of games in Major League Baseball. 1.5 million. Highest attended for a 45-game slate since June 21 through 23 of 2019 overall. That's counting summer weekends, July, August, you know, whenever. So I bring that up to say, first of all, that's a huge deal for Major League Baseball. But I know that this could be somewhat, fluky. Maybe the matchups were great. Maybe the weather was just awesome. But I also think that the pitch clock is working and that some of the changes that have been implemented to try to create more offense and more action and runs are successful. Like, this is a really good sign for an embattled commissioner in Rob Manfred. If you start to churn out some weekends like this, where you get a better attendance than you've had at any point. And if they just went back to the pandemic in 19, you know, before the pandemic, let's say, that's one thing. This is actually going back to a couple of years before the pandemic. So this is a really big deal for baseball.
I think it's, you know, always trying to point to one thing is always dangerous is not the right word. Obviously, no one's in any danger. But I think we miss things. I'm sure it's complicated, but it's all ending up with a positive direction for Major League Baseball. Number one, I think the rule changes are a thing. Like them or not, I don't care. It's a thing, and it's effective. It's doing what Major League Baseball has wanted and frankly, has needed for some time. It's an injection of energy in a positive direction. Number two, this is anecdotal. I know the Nats have started doing this more. I feel like more teams around baseball are starting games earlier. Not everybody, not every city, not every place has to do it. But whether it's a 6:30 some start or, you know, the Nats doing more 4 o'clock games, especially on the weekends, when school is still in session, and you know this, when school's in session here in the D.C. area, now almost in most municipalities until late June, I can't take a kid to a 7 o'clock start at Nats Park downtown D.C. if I'm coming from the suburbs and get him or her to bed at a reasonable time. It's sort of prohibitive. It's not going to happen. 4 o'clock games, you can do those things on a weekend with a kid.
But on a weekend, on a Saturday, I would say by and large, you could still take your kids to those games. Would you not do that at 7 o'clock on Saturday?
No chance.
Really?
Yeah, no way. Because you're getting home at 11 o'clock probably, 10:30, 10:45, and it's not like they just are very happy to be there and get ready to go to bed right away. They're brushing their teeth and just snuggling down. You're talking fights and meltdowns, and it's way, way too much of an ask for parents.
I think the point's correct, which is I'd rather take my kids to a 4:05 game. I would definitely, it sounds like maybe be more inclined to take him to a 7:05 game on a weekend in general. Hopefully they sleep in the next morning. Probably not. By
no,
the way.
They don't do that.
They're just off schedule at that point. But there's no doubt, and I think anyone with kids can relate, at 4:05, getting home by maybe 8 o'clock, you're mm-hmm. back at your house, as opposed to 7:05, and you fast forward to, like you said, 11 o'clock that you're back home. Way, way, way more doable.
But it's not the only thing. I mean, I'm just saying it's another little
also,
factor.
You know, that's our little D.C. time, you know, anecdotally, that they changed this year. I know that there's an effort to do some of that around baseball, but there's still a lot of primarily 7:35 Saturday night games. So it's not like everyone in the country's doing that. But there might be a lot of ingredients to this stew,
mm-hmm.
but I think that that's a really good sign. With a lot of changes being made,
yep.
an attempt to try to grow the game, it's been years since they got a report like this. It's like getting a good jobs report, finally.
Right.
You know, a weekend where 1.5 million people showed up is a really big deal. Elsewhere, to the NFL we go. The Commanders are not going to get in any trouble for potential tampering for Andrew Luck. The Colts earlier this month, remember, raised questions about a situation after John Keim of ESPN had written that the Commanders had looked into Luck as a possible option as part of their quarterback due diligence in spring of 2022. I think the initial ESPN story read that they contacted Luck. They obviously didn't. They contacted teams to try to find quarterbacks. One of those teams was the Indianapolis Colts, and maybe they asked them about Luck's availability. But turns out after the Colts investigation, Washington never called Luck or anybody close to Luck. So they're off the hook.
There you go. So listen, some folks were treating this as like a chance to flex and kind of like dunk on whomever as a like, I told you this was nothing. Okay, it turned out to be nothing. Everyone did the thing that was supposed to happen. In other words, something fishy was reported. It was investigated. Sometimes there's, you know, they're not necessarily a fire. I think it was just fine. It was totally worth looking into. I think no harm, no foul here. But it was, I was a little bit puzzled by some of the reactions that some folks had.
I didn't see any of the reactions. That makes sense because the internet's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I when the story originally came out and there was a report that they had contacted Luck, that was the terminology.
Right.
The Colts came out and took issue with that and immediately asked the NFL to look into it. That's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you contact my player, I'm going to be upset about that. If that report didn't come out, I don't think anyone would have
thought
about
twice,
it
yeah.
or cared about it. But you can't do that. Everyone thought they broke a rule. Doesn't seem like they did, so we move forward. The other big story with the Commanders over the last couple of weeks, Andrew Luck kind of was in the news for an hour with this team, and then that went away. Has been, obviously, with the sale now and the Josh Harris group taking over, the possibility of a new stadium. Maryland, D.C., Virginia, in different ways, have all kind of come forward to say they're willing to do business now that Dan Snyder is gone. Jason Wright actually publicly spoke for the first time about the possibility of a new stadium at an event this weekend a bunch of reporters were at. This was Wright talking with the media on Saturday.
Sure. I mean, it's just an exciting time because there will, as soon as this transaction is done, there will be some renewed energy around those conversations and, more importantly, getting the strategy from Josh and the new team that's coming in, how they see the vision and things like that. So we just continue to have discussions with folks in Maryland, the district, and Virginia, better understand their economic development aims. Understanding the things that as they get more serious about this as a potential project,
right.
The different things that they would want in place, and just talking to leaders and engaging the community so that we understand how to be a good servant of them in this process.
That was Jason Wright with reporters. So what I took away from that, among other things, is it sounds like they're just waiting until the Harris Group takes over to get their vision
mm-hmm.
and to really, you know, sink their teeth into what is their plan. What do they want to see? They're the ones that are going to call the shots. Am I to believe that Jason Wright and the Commanders right now have very little indication of what Josh Harris and his group are thinking about the next stadium?
I just don't believe that.
That doesn't seem realistic to me. I know that that's probably what you have to say. I think there was even a Washington Post story this weekend by Nikki Javala that came out And she had written that they can't have any say into a lot of what's going on with the team until it's official.
Of course, right.
I know that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're not the owner yet. You don't get to call the shots. And so maybe Jason has to say this. But don't you think behind the scenes, even if it's when you're on your tours or subsequently when you're having some type of backroom conversations, like if you're not working to get ahead of day one when
the
you start.
The biggest issue facing the team?
You're probably not doing it right.
Yeah, there's no way these shrewd business folks who understand all of this, especially guys that own, in Harris's case, multiple teams, where you play and how much money's coming in because of that is the central thing about running your operation. Period, end of story. That's it. That's the issue. If they get that thing right, they've got a great chance to be successful on the business front. Like, it's the number one issue facing a prospective owner. The idea that he would walk on campus after finally setting, you know, signing his name for the first time and going, all right, what do we have to do? We need a stadium? Ruh-roh. Like, no way. They're already working.
Let me clarify. Nobody's acting like he doesn't know they need a stadium, obviously. I think what the suggestion is, we don't know what his plan or vision is. We haven't been allowed to talk to him about it yet. So it goes without saying, they all know they're going to be building a stadium. Mm-hmm. They know it's going to be D.C., Virginia, or Maryland. They have their own plans, I'm sure, behind the scenes at their headquarters at the Harris Group. But my question is, are we to believe that they're actually not working with Jason Wright and his team already in setting forth some of their plan? And really that Wright doesn't have a real good firm beat on what their vision is. I know that it might be not allowed publicly, you know, but I really hope that they're all getting on the same page and having meetings and having calls, and that right now, if you gave him truth serum, Jason Wright knows where Josh Harris wants to build the stadium, what his plan for the stadium is, and they're working on the blueprint as we speak.
Yeah, there was a leaked document, you know, purportedly from Harris's camp about $1.5 billion coming from the state of Virginia in their prospectus. They got an idea. You know what I mean? Like, I think everyone knows all the information they need to know right now, and they're all working on it.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Mike Martz, who was the coordinator of one of the greatest offenses ever, the greatest show on turf, the 99 Rams, into the start of the 2000s. He's going to join the show coming up at 3 o'clock. He did a detailed film breakdown of Sam Howell for the 33rd team we want to ask him about. But next, NBC ranked all the GMs in football. Where did Washington's front office crew show up on that ranking? We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
At 4 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny, we've got tickets to see Bert Kreischer when he comes to the D.C. area this winter. Everybody trying to get their hands on his show. Well, we got tickets for you today on G&D right here at 4 o'clock. NBC Sports Edge ranked all of the front offices in the National Football League 1 to 32 in the way of decision-making, vision, you know, the execution of their plan. And at 26, if you scroll all the way down toward the bottom handful of teams, you'll find Washington's GM tandem. They list Rivera and Mayhew. You know, other teams where you have a defined general manager, Ryan Poles of the Bears, Scott Fitterer of the Panthers, Omar Khan Steelers, Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah of the Vikings. Now you get the, you know, the one name. But in D.C., it's never quite that easy now, is it?
Nope.
So it's Rivera slash Mayhew. I actually think they should have another slash with Herney in there because he's very involved in what they do. But here is what NBC Sports Edge and Patrick Daugherty wrote. They said, one reason this front office's big ideas haven't worked is they haven't had any. I don't agree with that, by the way. Like, that's a nice zing, and it sounds good, and you could do a pullout quote on that. But the idea that they haven't had ideas is silly. Their ideas haven't worked, but they traded for Carson Wentz. That was a big idea. They went and acquired Ryan Fitzpatrick. That was a pretty substantial idea. Even this offseason of going with Sam Howell, Danny, that's an idea. Yeah. They've had lots of ideas.
Right. I think it's, again, as you said, good zing. We can all high five. Doesn't mean I'm defending them, though. I think they're terrible at this. I think they should be replaced ASAP.
I'm just saying that quote specifically.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
The idea that they've been short on ideas, I think that that's wrong.
Yeah, I think they've had misguided ideas, but they've absolutely tried things.
Next zing here, again, pretty anti-Rivera Mayhew. Tampering, allegedly, with Andrew Luck is as creative as it has gotten in Washington during Rivera's reign as football czar. Well, as we talked about last segment, they supposedly didn't tamper, and I don't know that that's the most creative thing that they've done anyway, but I digress. I'll continue to read here. To make matters worse, the can't-miss defender missed. Chase Young had the looks of the next great pass rusher until tearing his ACL. Now he's appeared in just 11 games in two seasons and had his fifth-year team option declined. That's a hardship, but not enough to explain Rivera's squad being stuck in the 7-win zone. I don't think that's unfair. I mean, Chase Young was can't miss, and so far, that has been a miss, and he has only played in the 11 games, and the 11 games haven't been overly productive. That's a massive blemish on this front office's tenure.
Because that asset, the number two overall pick, needs to be converted to something special, whether that's one player or multiple players via trade, and neither happened, right? It turned out to be what so far has been a disappointment. The book isn't written. There's still a chance for a turnaround. But how many of you are betting on that? I know I'm certainly not.
Rivera has done a reasonably good job populating the defensive side of the ball, while the offense, admittedly, has playmakers. There just isn't the high-end talent to put the operations over the top. With no quarterback and a new owner coming in 2023, Rivera is going to have to revisit his 12-13 win heights of the Cam Newton years to have any shot of retaining his job for 2024. My initial reaction to that is I think he could absolutely keep his job without getting to 12 wins. That would cement that he returns. But a 10-7 season where they won a playoff game, an 11-6 season even where they lost a playoff game, I think would then be very much debatable as to what you do with Ron Rivera. But big picture, 26th out of 32 here for Rivera and Mayhew. What do you make of the synopsis?
I think, you know, my own bias aside here, I think that's probably a pretty appropriate ranking. My instinct is to say lower than that, but that's probably being unfair but just because I follow this thing so closely. But yeah, that's about right. Again, it's not a correct structure. This is a very simple thing. You have a guy that's never been in charge of everything before who's in charge of everything, and it's proven to be too much for him at many times over. Ron Rivera is a good dude. He was a great focal point and shepherd through an unbelievable tempest, everything from COVID to social unrest and everything that happened in 2020. I could not think of a better person league-wide to have kind of gotten the team through all of the adversity that they went through with flying colors, and it was great. But then you sort of realize there's not the next step. Where is it? Have they gotten better? How much better are they than they were a couple years ago when they played a garbage schedule and were able to be at the top of a terrible division? The division ain't going to be terrible this year, and their schedule is more challenging. They'll be in the same bucket.
So before we move on to kind of discussing this front office in more detail, you had suggested maybe they should be lower than 26 out of 32. I want to give you the teams that are lower. You tell me who you'd move ahead of them. All right. 27th, right behind them, is the Panthers and GM Scott Fitterer. And it's been a pretty big mess for him.
Pretty bad.
Matt Rhule, that went sideways. They did trade up, and now they have Bryce Young, so I'd make the case that they are now in a way better position than Washington because they probably got their quarterback of the future, and they made the move that the Commanders haven't been able to go up the board and get the QB. But can you really say Fitterer in Carolina has done a better job than these guys have? I think that's a hard argument to make.
I don't think you could say that.
All right, how about the Raiders? Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels coming off of the fiasco that was last year. They had a huge offseason, by the way, a year ago. Then they went into the year, huge disappointment. They have since tried to reload with Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Myers trying to get in the Patriots band back together. This is after they made the big trade for Devontae Adams, and now Derek Carr is out. What do you think of Ziegler, McDaniels, as opposed to the Washington?
I don't think much of them either.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. If Ziegler actually had autonomy over Josh McDaniels, I'd feel a little bit better about that situation, but I don't. I still feel like everyone kowtows to McDaniels. They were hired together. They're buddies. That's a bad situation.
The last one here, I guess there's two more. The Broncos, and they gave Russell Wilson that unbelievable extension that blew up in their face.
So that's the one that nobody's going to – you're going to be stunned that I'm saying this. They went all in on a quarterback. They tried to get a superstar quarterback. It failed. I'll take their roster building over the last several years over Washington's. They took a swing at quarterback and it missed. That's a glaring blemish. It's a huge negative. It's bad. I know it's bad. And it can't, I'm not telling you they're a top 10 organization in terms of how they run things, but I would take the Broncos, even with that glaring blemish, and they're stuck with Russell Wilson over a couple other items, including
you know what I like about them is they are what I call team get bleep done. Like they want something, yeah. They do it. They wanted Russell Wilson, they went and made the trade. They wanted Sean Payton. They got him. They make things happen, which I enjoy. I think that that's what good front offices do. They were wrong on Russell Wilson.
They were wrong,
set
yeah.
them back. I like that they went and got Mike McGlinchey. Ben Powers at guard is really good. Zach Allen, the D tackle. I think that'll pay off. I'm not necessarily of the belief that, you know, Russell Wilson's going to rebound, but they made a lot of small moves that are going to help. And, yeah, I agree with you. If I had to choose between their front office or Washington's, I would take theirs. The other one here is the Texans.
And that's a disaster.
Nick Caserio, who is, that's the worst front office in football.
One of the worst in all of sports.
I don't know how that guy still has a job.
I don't either.
I like the D'Amico Ryans hiring finally, but, you know, you get hired there to get fired in a year. Ask David Culley or Lovie Smith.
Yeah, and there are two first-time GMs that we don't know anything about yet, Rand Carthen in Tennessee and Monty Ossenfort in Arizona.
And that's kind of my point is I think 26 is probably fair.
It's probably about right.
I think that's where they should be at this point. But there is a larger conversation to have on Rivera and Mayhew and Marty Herney now, which is, as we look ahead to the 2023 season coming up, It isn't a secret that you're out on this group.
Right.
I'm not nearly as adamant as you are that they all have to be gone. I am in wait-and-see mode, but I am very skeptical. I would say I'm dubious that this is the crew that's going to get this thing right, and I look forward after this season to the possibility of a legitimate GM being hired who hires a new head coach who picks their quarterback. I think that that's going to be really exciting. But the difference is I'm leaving the door open to them figuring this out. They've done enough, in my opinion, set themselves up foundationally as kind of a mediocre team, that if they're able to make a big jump forward here and Howell plays really well, all of a sudden I could see them hanging for another few seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we disagree. But I just wanted to open up the phones and the MGM National Harbor listener lines for people at 800-636-1067. Because I want to ask this question, Danny. Give us a reason to believe in this front office. Like, do you still have hope that these guys can get this thing right? Do you still have any confidence in Rivera and the Marty Party? And if so, where does it come from? And what would you say to someone who doesn't if you're trying to convince Danny or me that in 3 years these guys will all be here, this team's knocking on the door of a Super Bowl, and all they needed was more time? Make that case for me. 800-636-1067.
The best way to do it is if they're right about Sam Howell. I mean, I hate to oversimplify it, but that's if he makes you right, doesn't really matter. People aren't going to remember how they stumbled into it, how they fell backwards, sideways, hit every branch on the way down, and landed in the sweet, soft, warm pool of Sam Howell goodness. That'd be the only way it works. I mean, never mind, they stubbed their toe into it, right? That they were going to play Taylor Heinicke, and they couldn't wait to play Carson Wentz. They went after him. They didn't know what they had. Then they claimed they did, and the whole thing was a PR mess. Doesn't matter. If he's good, that solves pretty much everything. I'm not even talking about great. I mean good. Like, league average or above, 17, 18 ranked starter in the NFL next year for a roster that's actually pretty decent in some areas.
To that point, I was thinking about this at lunch today. If he plays good ball, and let's just say, while not quite cementing himself as the answer, shows enough that you think this could be something. We could have the gift of the rookie on the first contract at quarterback making no money. He could save their bacon. Not because he's good, but because you want to see more. Like, if he goes out and throws 20 touchdowns with 11 interceptions, and even if they went, I wonder if there's a future where, like, if they went 8-9 as an example and didn't make the playoffs, I'm Josh Harris, I'm starting over, and I'm firing everyone. But if Hal shows enough, I wonder if there's anything to feeling like, well, if I go get another coach, maybe he doesn't mesh with this guy, maybe, you know, a new head coach doesn't want to deal with this guy, and I actually think he could play. Like, what if Josh Harris ends up really liking Sam Howell, thinking he can do it, and because of that, he has to stick with this other group, even if their results aren't great, because he thinks that's the best way forward for Howell. That's a possibility.
It totally is, and that to me is the window. Like, if, with all due respect, if Andrew Wiley plays pretty decent, or if Nick Gates starts 14 games at center, that doesn't save anybody. That doesn't change anything. It's really about, don't worry about how we got here. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Carson Wentz, nonsense, ridiculousness, terrible plan, no idea what we're doing, seat of our pants, pretending we're roster building now. Forget about all that, how we got here. We found one, right? We found one. And again, he doesn't even have to be great. If he's good enough, I think you put it very well, that you'd like to see more, that we're not ready to just to bench him and go with the veteran who's going to hand it off and check
it
down. But
answer this for me.
That's a big deal.
Is there I want to see more of Sam Howell, but I'm going to move on from this group and bring someone else in that makes sense? Because you know how damaging that can be to development. Like, if you're intrigued by Howell at all,
tough needle to thread, right?
It almost feels like you've got to keep him with Bienemy, and you've got to continue the whatever that momentum is. But it's just hard to give this group a fifth year if they don't have a winning season and make the playoffs this year. But if we all agree the most important thing is quarterback, and the best thing that can possibly come out of the quarterback room is a rookie contract QB making no money, and you're not sure yet, but it looks like maybe you have that, is it worth continuing to walk down that path with Ron and the Martys for another season to find out? Or can you say, I like Hal, I don't think these other guys are good enough, we're going to keep Sam, the next coach is going to have to inherit him and give him a shot.
Third system in 3 years for a kid. I mean, just, you're basically saying, hey, you're not going to succeed, but we kind of like you. Good luck. I hate that. Yeah. I hate new coach inheriting quarterback. So you're right. That is a tough needle to thread right there. The only way
I
can see it.
That's what I'm saying. If he's not, like, if he shows anything, maybe it's enough to keep Ron around.
Here is the scenario. Again, we're talking about ridiculous, you know,
I'm talking
endless
myself
permutations.
Into why Ron
I know.
Did this, by the way.
I know.
Maybe this was Ron's whole master plan of why they went with Sam Howell, because if he's decent now, even if we're 8-9, I go to the owner and I go, look, this guy's on the brink, man.
Yeah,
one more year of this guy.
I'm
10
a huge,
wins.
Huge believer in that. This is a, you know, PR sort of self-serving motivated thing. I've thought that from the beginning. It's why they announced it 48 seconds after the final game. Don't worry about what happened before. We got one. Like, that's what they're trying to go for. But again, we're playing permutations here. He's decent enough talking about Hal. He's fine. I wonder if then Harris is able to come in and go, hey, this structure sucks. We're not doing that. It's nonsense. We're never, ever doing this again as long as I'm the owner. We're getting a real GM. Your buddies, they can stay on in different roles, but we're having someone that's in charge of all of you guys. You're just the coach. Ron, do you accept the demotion? And he's like, I think about it. My feet are where my head is, and draw me a map. No, I'm not doing that. Then maybe the thing that everyone's always talking about is Eric Bieniemy gets the bump up. And now you don't have to have a different system for Sam Howell. I wonder that. Or if Rivera accepts the demotion as just the coach and you get a real GM And you're able to keep the enemy in the same system.
Maybe that's the path to the Bieniemy head coaching job, which I keep saying is not a thing, is if Hal shows a lot or enough that they really like him, but they don't want to continue with this front office or Ron, that maybe that's where you say there's continuity in the offensive side of the ball if you either keep Bieniemy as the OC with the next head coach, or maybe even he gets that interview that people have been suggesting could be coming. Question for you guys is, NBC ranked the front office here 26th out of 32. Give us a reason to continue to believe in this group. After 3 years without a winning season, do you still have faith in them? And if you were to make the case for why they could get right, what would it sound like? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Top of the hour at 3 o'clock in 15 minutes, Mike Martz joins us. He called plays for Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, and the greatest show on turf. Did a great breakdown of Sam Howell for the 33rd team. We're going to discuss with him coming up right at the top of the hour. It's Grant and Danny on the Fan. 32 front offices ranked top to bottom. Washington came in 26th, according to NBC Sports Edge. Are you still confident in these decision makers? And if you're able to, please make the case on why others should be. Let's go to Dave in Woodbridge on G&D. How are you? David, you're on the Fan. What's up?
What's going on, guys? How are you today?
Good, man.
First-time caller, long-time listener. Love you guys. I don't necessarily have a feedback on the rankings, but I do think DC sports in general, the Washington, whatever you want to call them, Wizards, no one embraces a rebuild, and we get stuck in purgatory between trying to be half good and not being bad. At a certain point, you just kind of have to blow it up. I'd love to see progress from Sam Howell, but eventually I think it's just too many coffins in the closet, and you just need to clean house.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks,
buddy. Thank you. So the topic at hand, right, is, and we thank you for the call. Hopefully you'll call again. Good to get a first call out of the way there. I like that. do you still have faith in this front office, yes or no? And if the answer is yes, why? And try to give the rest of us a reason to trust them. Specific to his other point, though, which is the thing he doesn't like about this front office is that they don't really rebuild. He's right. The Wizards are the 100%. Same way. I think that that speaks to, it's hard to say, maybe a fear that in this town, an event town, if you're not good, people don't show up. Like, you look at the Nats, when they're building right now, there's some sparse attendances. And maybe the fear is, I need butts and seats. I would just be willing to go on the record if asked by someone high up with the Commanders or the Wizards and say, is it working as it is? I mean, it's not like you're getting a lot of people to come out.
Wizards are last in attendance.
So are the Commanders.
Yep.
I mean, you get a lot of visiting fans, but what is your fear? What is your concern about a rebuild?
You don't make
as much money? Making money now.
I don't know the answer there. When you have a bad organizational culture, it permeates. And everyone lives in fear. Instead of being on the same page going, hey, I trust you to be the boss of this thing and see us through it, you're afraid that if you take a step back, you'll get axed. And, you know, because the guy before you did and the guy beside you did, just how it always ends up permeating. And so you see what happens. You're on this hamster wheel of mediocrity.
Let's go to Clay, who's in North Carolina, listening for free on the Odyssey app. You can take us with you anywhere on Odyssey. What's up, Clay?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to make a point. You know, if you look around sports, not just football, you see people get fired just because they're consistently in the playoffs but can't take the next step to get to a championship game or win one, you know. Like we look at Doc Rivers mm-hmm. in Philadelphia, just got fired simply because he couldn't get past the second round of the playoffs. But if you look at Rivera, if he sneaks in and gets bounced in the first round this year, you know, is anyone going to say that he has a vision and deserves more time? I don't think so. That's four seasons, you know, of not just mediocrity, but not even getting to the next level of a second round or an NFC title game, let alone even thinking about a Super Bowl.
But so, what if Howell shows something? I mean, they chose Sam Howell. They have put their eggs in that basket. And I know that previously they chose Ryan Fitzpatrick and Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen and
Carson Wentz
and Taylor Heineke. But right now, the new thing, the flavor of the month is that they are in on Sam Howell. If Howell at the end of this year, after 17 starts, looks like an NFL starting quarterback, I think it's hard to move on from this group. Not to say that I wouldn't. I'm just saying it gets really difficult.
It gets harder, yeah.
B is in Haymarket on G&D. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, gentlemen. I have absolutely zero confidence in that trilogy that they call a GM, management, whatever it is. They are so reactionary. Just stop me if you've heard this before. Oh, well, if Deron Payne's good, then, you know, that's a great problem to have. If Chase Young has a ball-out year, well, that's a great problem to have. Aren't you supposed to know ahead of time and save yourself some money and just, you know, they don't know when to trade people. It's like they're hanging on to this asset. They don't know when to cut people. Why is Andrew Norwell still on the roster?
He won't be in due time, but you're right.
So correct.
They wait until the last minute to do everything.
Everything he said is correct. But that's the lack of vision where you go, we don't resign Tim Settle, who's going to go play the same role in Buffalo that he did here for 10 cents on the dollar. We have needed defensive tackle now. Second round pick on a defensive tackle. Right. You had one in-house that was fine to be your rotational backup piece.
This has been one of my longest running arguments against this group and my fears about them being good. Is it just seems like they move, they play pool without thinking of the next shot. They just try to get a ball in a pocket, but they're not setting up the next shot.
First and second round pick secondary. We haven't cut Kendall Fuller. Here we go.
Calvin, Gaithersburg, you're on Grant and Danny.
Yeah, how you guys doing, man? Zero faith in this regime that you guys have going on. See, I'm not a Commanders fan. I'm a Broncos fan, but you guys are great radio, so I listen to you all day long.
You're a sweetheart, sir.
I have no faith. I have no faith in this area or this football team getting better because they've been saying this stuff for the longest. You know, oh, it's going to take 2 to 3 years to rebuild, and here we are. You're still rebuilding. They took Sam Howell in the draft because they had no other choice because Fitzgerald failed. All their other quarterbacks failed. You know, if Josh Harris has any clue of what he's doing, he would clean house. hopefully keep EB in the building because you already got a great offensive coordinator in-house. It would be ideal to keep him around.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, buddy.
About Josh Harris's acumen, how quickly he picks things up and picks up on things based on some of the decisions he makes and when he comes to some conclusions this year, for sure.
It's a sharp dude. You know what I mean? Like, he has established that. Maybe he was getting his feet wet a couple organizations ago, but he's run two and a half if you count what he's done with the, you know, Crystal Palace and in the Premier League. But he knows what he's about.
Mike Martz is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. One of the great play callers at one point in time in league history. Did a great breakdown on Sam Howe. That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.